Welcome, Truth Seekers. I am so energized to be diving deep with you today. This is the Weekly Briefing Subscribers Q&A, specifically for the week of October 10th. We've got a fascinating stack of sources today, really connecting the dots between cosmic stuff, finance, military moves. It's all weaving together.
It really is. And our mission, as always, is trying to bring some clarity, you know, cut through that fog of information. Because these are transformative times, and the challenge really is to rise above the noise. It's about spotting the pattern, seeing the narratives for what they are, and, well, taking back our own personal sovereignty.
Yeah, that difference between just consuming information passively and actively discerning it, that feels absolutely key right now. The sources we looked at really hammer this home. True awakening means staying grounded, rational thinking, yes, but also keeping your emotional balance.
It does. You have to. Because we recognize that this huge upheaval we're seeing out there, it's mirrored inside us energetically. The real goal is shifting from just that mind-based logic, which can be manipulated, frankly, towards more of a heart-centered awareness, filtering truth through, you know, intuition and compassion. That's how you hold those higher frequencies, even when things seem chaotic.
Exactly. So we've pulled together the five most pressing questions from you, the community, and today we're going to connect these dots, these maybe seemingly separate points, to try and uncover the blueprint of what's really unfolding beneath the surface. Let's just jump right in. We're starting with the cosmos and biology, kind of a big picture view.
Let's do it.
Okay, question one. This one's about the sun, the intensifying solar activity, and this whole great solar flash idea that's being talked about. We're seeing science and maybe more energetic interpretations converging here. What are NASA and NOAA actually confirming about solar cycle 25? Is it really that unusual?
Well, the main thing to note, and this is confirmed, is that solar cycle 25 is peaking way earlier and much more intensely than the scientific models predicted. The sources point to concrete evidence like multiple X-class flares. Those are the really powerful ones. And also more of these stealth CMEs, coronal mass ejections, that are kind of tricky to track beforehand.
Right. And these aren't just causing pretty light shows, the auroras, are they? These big events, they're scientifically tied to shifts in the sun's magnetic field, the polarity changes.
Precisely. And from a purely scientific standpoint, the big worry is about what they call geomagnetically induced currents, GICs. A really severe solar storm could theoretically cause widespread grid problems, knock out satellites temporarily, mess with communications. It really highlights how fragile some of our tech infrastructure is.
Okay, but then there's this other layer, the one that really resonates with the awakened community, the energetic meaning. How do we bridge that physical science with this concept of a great solar flash?
Yeah, this is where it gets interesting. Many people interpret this solar surge not just as, you know, a physical hazard, but as a catalyst, like it's part of a bigger planetary frequency shift, a recalibration. The solar flash idea symbolizes this ignition of consciousness. The amplified energy potentially speeds up the release of old, dense emotional patterns on a global scale, kind of forcing an internal breakthrough for humanity.
So the takeaway isn't fear. It's more about proactive energy management.
Grounding ourselves.
Keeping our inner coherence strong so we can handle this external amplification without getting sucked into panic.
Exactly. Alignment, not fear. That's the key.
Okay, switching gears quite sharply now from cosmic energy to biological questions with Q2. This one's pretty charged. Did the CDC create a new virus? And beyond that specific claim, what's the real concern around these gain-of-function studies that seem to be back?
Right, let's clarify that first part based on the official record. There's zero evidence the CDC itself created some new virus for release. That seems to be misinformation. But the real controversy, and it's a valid one, is around the quiet resumption of these very debated gain-of-function studies.
Could you just quickly define gain-of-function for anyone listening who might not be familiar with that term?
Sure. Gain-of-function research basically involves tweaking existing pathogens, like, say, the H5N1 bird flu virus in a lab, to potentially make them more transmissible between humans, or maybe more deadly. The official reason given in the sources is always about studying these modified bugs to get ahead of potential future pandemics.
But the critics, and we saw plenty of those in our source material, argue that messing with viruses like that is playing with fire. It could cause the very thing it claims to prevent, right? But you're saying the concern runs even deeper than just lab safety accidents.
Much deeper, yeah. The thing to really watch from an awakening perspective is how the frameworks from the pandemic era are being dusted off and potentially reused. We're seeing the structures being reinforced, governments assuming broad emergency powers easily, restricting data access, citing security, and just generally normalizing this idea that crises justify more top-down control.
So for truth seekers listening, what kind of language or actions should we be watching for? What signals that this control aspect is expanding?
Keep an eye out for pushes around biosecurity or pandemic preparedness. Often, legislation framed that way can act like a Trojan horse, smuggling in new surveillance tech, mandatory tracking systems, or maybe digital IDs linked to your health status. The lesson is, always question a health crisis narrative that seems to come with a whole lot of political side effects aimed at tightening control.
That theme of control leads us straight into our next segment, military and finance. Let's hit Q3. Why is the Pentagon suddenly making it harder for journalists to get access? What could that signal about readiness for conflict?
Yeah, this is confirmed in the sources. Multiple major news outlets have reported facing new, stricter Defense Department rules. It's limiting media access, even to information that used to be considered unclassified operational stuff. The official line is always, you know, protecting operational integrity because global tensions are high.
But history shows us, doesn't it, that clamping down on information, increasing operational security, often happens right before major military actions or escalations. What does this kind of narrative security suggest when you connect it to bigger shifts in U.S. defense policy?
Well, it lines up perfectly with a major internal shift described in the sources. The U.S. defense structure is apparently being reorganized, functionally bringing it back towards something like a centralized War Department model. This suggests a big shift in focus away from counterinsurgency towards being ready for conflicts with near-peer adversaries.
And what does that kind of structural change really mean in practical terms?
It implies they're getting ready fast for potentially handling major conflicts in multiple places at once. The sources specifically mention the Middle East, Eastern Europe, and the Indo-Pacific region. Controlling the information flow, the access, is vital in that scenario, because in modern conflict, the first battlefield is often the narrative space managing how the public perceives deployments and potential escalations.
So the critical insight here is that tightening the information isn't just about keeping secrets from enemies abroad. It might also be about managing the public's ability to tell the difference between a genuine national security need and the kind of narrative security needed to sell a large-scale military engagement.
Precisely. You have to discern the intent behind the information clampdown. That's key to staying aware.
Okay, let's pivot now to the global financial system for Q4. Things feel equally tense there. Wall Street tries to stay positive, but what specific cracks are the sources pointing to as signs of maybe deeper structural problems? And why are gold and silver suddenly surging again?
Yeah, that surface optimism feels increasingly thin. Beneath it, the sources highlight some serious geopolitical and economic tremors shaking confidence. They point to specific triggers. Lingering instability after Japan's recent political upheaval, that sudden government collapse in France causing immediate uncertainty, and this one's big, rising defaults in U.S. commercial real estate, CRE.
The CRE defaults.
Yeah.
Do the sources give any sense of the scale?
Mm-hmm.
Is it serious?
Yes. Some sources are warning that default rates in the commercial real estate sector could hit levels we haven't seen since the 2008 crisis. That puts immense pressure on regional banks and the debt markets that depend on CRE stability. It's a loss of tangible value underpinning a deeper loss of trust, really.
And that brings us to the gold and silver rally. It feels like more than just hedging against inflation this time, doesn't it?
It really does. The move towards precious metals and also interest in resource-backed financial systems, it seems symptomatic of a broader reset in what people perceive as a value. As faith in fiat currencies gets shaky globally, and the whole model of infinite centralized debt looks increasingly unstable, people are naturally looking towards tangible physical assets.
So it's not money itself collapsing, but the belief system. The belief in control through illusion.
That's exactly the deeper takeaway. What's dissolving is the faith in that system of control through illusion. When the perceived stability of these big centralized financial institutions starts to crack under debt pressure and real-world collapses like CRE, trust just flows out of the digital promises and back towards things you can actually hold.
And that theme of control, surveillance, maybe driven by instability, brings us back home for Q5. Why are federal agencies apparently shifting focus and expanding enforcement operations inside U.S. cities now?
This looks like a really significant domestic pivot. Sources describe the redeployment of resources, FBI agents, ICE agents who were maybe previously focused on counterterrorism. Now, their primary efforts seem to be shifting towards immigration enforcement deep within major cities, not just at the border.
And this isn't just about moving personnel around. It involves deploying more advanced technology too, right?
Absolutely. The scope reportedly includes using sophisticated biometric surveillance tools, more drone monitoring, and even digital ID tracking systems across major metropolitan areas. It really suggests the federal government might be consolidating a huge data-driven security and control infrastructure domestically.
So the really crucial question for aware observers isn't just about the enforcement itself, but about the normalization. The normalization of using these advanced surveillance methods inside cities, areas that were previously considered, you know, zones of freedom.
Exactly. That's the domino effect to watch. What starts as a response to a perceived crisis, say, at the border, can set a precedent that redefines internal freedoms later on. Once the full toolkit of biometric tracking and digital surveillance is normalized under the banner of safety, it risks becoming the default foundation for domestic control.
Okay, let's take a breath here and try to connect these five big threads. We've touched on cosmic energy ramping up Q1, these recycled biosecurity control plans Q2, military narrative management Q3, deep financial system fractures Q4, and this expanding domestic surveillance grid Q5. How do these pieces fit together to show us the blueprint of the Great Awakening unfolding right now?
Well, when you put them all together, a pretty clear pattern emerges, doesn't it? You see external energy rising, putting pressure on old systems. You see systems built on control and, frankly, deception starting to buckle and collapse under that pressure. And you see consciousness, awareness expanding in response to it all. Every single disruption, every crisis point feels like part of a larger, maybe even necessary process.
The solar flares, the wobbles in the financial system, the military posturing, they're all reflecting one big theme, aren't they?
I think so. And that theme is dissolution. Systems built on centralized power and illusion are dissolving because they fundamentally can't operate in a higher frequency of truth and transparency. The sun's intensity mirrors our own buried collective emotions bubbling up. The financial shakes reflect a value system that's just not sustainable. The political and military power plays expose how fragile freedom can be when surveillance becomes normal.
So each crisis acts like a mirror, in a way.
Yeah.
Forcing us, collectively and individually, to choose. Choose awareness over just going along. Choose empowerment over giving in to fear.
That's a great way to put it. And our role, as we see it, isn't about trying to predict the exact day some system falls apart. It's more about preparing ourselves for what comes next, for the rebuilding.
Oh.
And that has to be on a foundation of truth, real sovereignty, unity. This awakening, it demands we look outward, yes, but also inward. Our own personal illusions, our own attachments to the old ways, they have to dissolve too.
That internal work, that's where our real power lies, isn't it?
Yeah.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, let's bring it back to practical steps. What are the essential keys, the pillars maybe, for listeners trying to navigate all this? How can you rise above the noise and anchor yourself in that higher state?
Okay, let's call them the pillars for navigating transformation. First, and this is huge, consciously choose to let go of fear. You have to recognize fear for what it is, the master tool of control. Releasing it, refusing to be run by it, that's step one in reclaiming your sovereignty.
Makes sense. What's second?
Second, practice forgiveness and do consistent emotional clearing. All that old energetic baggage, past hurts, resentments, traumas, it literally weighs you down, lowers your frequency. Actively working to dissolve that stuff clears your perception and brings back your personal power.
Okay, fear release, emotional clearing, third pillar.
Third, consistent meditation and using transformational breathing techniques. Your breath is your immediate tool. It regulates your internal state. It expands your awareness. It allows you to consciously choose presence and calm, even when everything outside feels overwhelming.
Grounding through breath.
Mm.
Powerful. And the fourth?
Fourth, live with the heart of a volunteer. What does that mean? It means leading with your authentic self, acting from a place of service, integrity, unconditional love where possible. Ground yourself in compassion. Make your own consciousness part of the solution, not tangled in the problem.
Let go of fear, clear emotions, breathe consciously, live from the heart. Those are potent.
They are. And remember, this path into higher consciousness, it's not automatic. It's a choice you make every single day. You have to constantly ask yourself, am I consciously observing what's happening, or am I just reacting on autopilot based on old programming?
So maybe the final thought we leave you with today is this. The next time you encounter some intense piece of news, some crisis narrative,
yeah.
Pause. Ask yourself, Am I observing my thoughts and feelings about this? Or are those thoughts and feelings just running the whole show?
Stay observant. Stay grounded in your body. Stay centered in your heart. Keep connecting those dots for yourself. And know this, the light isn't something we're waiting for to arrive in the future. It's already here. It's illuminating everything that could no longer remain hidden in the shadows.
We'll catch you on the next deep dive.